Amen. All right. I'm glad to be here. Amen. The Lord's been dealing with me this week about some things that I want to talk to you about that I think is timely. I think it's important. And I know that those that are here was designed and destined to be here for this time. So this is just me talking to you as a collective group we know as the Grace Place. And I do need to finish up one little thing. I was talking about the faithfulness of God and how God is faithful. And before we get started, that we need to celebrate something. My brother is cancer-free.
Amen.
He had another scan, and what are you, 5 years now? 6 years out, cancer-free. And that's he had a kind of a cancer you're not supposed to recover from. And we share the same doctor, and I think she talks to him about me and to me about him. And but Joe had a scan. It come back clean. And while we were finishing up, the Lord just told me to say to you, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name.
Amen.
And forget not all of His benefits. He forgives all of your iniquities. He heals all of your diseases.
Praise God.
That's your word.
I
know that was the Lord that spoke that to me this morning for you.
Amen.
And so I want you to know I love you, Joe. I love you. And thank God for all He's done. And I'm thrilled for what God is doing. Before we read the text, and there's a whole lot of verses of Scripture I want to read, so I know we're not going to have time to read them all. I'm already disappointed that I'm not going to get done with the message. And I ain't even got started. Thank you. I don't know how long I've been coming to the Grace Place now, as far as time. How long I've been here. I was trying to figure that out on the way down here this morning. I can't remember. But I do know this much, and I hope you'll listen closely to what I'm about to say. When we first started coming to the Grace Place, we'd come off the road and we came here, and God appointed us to do that. The Lord spoke to our hearts and moved on our hearts. We prayed about it. We laid it before the Lord in prayer. And God moved on us to start coming here and to make this our not just our home church, but the place where we were going to commit to serve and to worship the Lord. When we first started coming, the intensity of the presence of God, in my way of looking at it, began to grow over a course of time. And the Grace Place, as a collective group, enjoyed a season of peace, of prosperity, of blessing, of the rich presence of God. And that was built on two things. It was built on the worship of God and the Word of God. That's what it was built on. And there was some seasons where we would come together and your pastor and myself would preach the same message. We didn't plan it. We didn't talk to each other. But God would validate one message by the next. And it was like only God could put that together. And my, how enjoyable it was to have the rich presence of God. Listen, miraculous things was happening, and I'm not sure that everybody even noticed it. I'm talking like when we'd have sharing time and someone would stand up and they'd give a verse. And the verse that they would give would be what we was preaching on. Everything tied together, and God was pouring things into us. And so built off of the worship and the Word came a season of peace and the presence of God. How many of you would agree with that? Okay. Now, seasons come and seasons go. Not too long back, we entered into a season of warfare. And I'm talking about collectively. Now, don't misunderstand me. Warfare is always with us. How many of you would agree with that? So is victory and peace always with us. But there are seasons where there is a primary thing going on. And here's what the Lord began to pour into me this week. And I don't want to make a thing about stuff, but please hear my heart. I preach from my life experience now because I can't preach sermons no more. The Lord won't allow it. Okay? But I have to preach from life experience. So I want you to listen close to what I'm about to say. This past week, I woke up Tuesday morning at 4 o'clock in just absolute misery. I mean, hurting so bad, I couldn't hardly move. It was crippling. And just kind of suffered through the day. And I honestly felt like that my ribs was going to break. My chest on this side was really pulling, and my lat right here under my arm was pulling the opposite way. And it was like just a crushing, crippling pain, and I just couldn't bear it. It was beyond what I could focus my way through. The same exact thing that happened in my low back was happening in my chest. My mind immediately went to the port that was in my chest, but that wasn't what was causing it. So I kind of labored with it for a while, and then I had Haley take me to the hospital. And they gave me drugs. Now, but here's something that happened while we were in the emergency room waiting on the doctor to come in. They'd done a CAT scan to make sure the port was fine. It was fine. I'm sitting in the emergency room waiting on the doctor to come in, and I told Haley, I said, I want you to read Scripture. And I called out Psalm 22, and she read Psalm 22. And then I said, read Revelation 5. And she read Revelation 5. Then I think she got tired of me telling her what to read, and she just put it on her phone where it was just playing on her phone, you know, and because she don't enjoy reading. And the Word of God was, now, listen to me closely. It's important. While the Word of God was playing on the phone, my mind and my spirit was going to what was being said from the Word of God. And the pain was subsiding.
Amen.
My mind then went to the book of Proverbs that talks about how that the Word of God is health and strength to our bones. Okay? Now, I'd already planned, I've got some earbuds, and Haley got the wire to charge them, and I don't know how none of this works, but they connect to your phone if you just take them out. I mean, it's automatically, it connects. And I've already planned that when I have the surgery, I'm going to yank them earbuds in there and play Word of God. Yeah. Now, watch this. When God moves on His Word and on the worship that we offer to Him, we're supposed to never lose that. Here's what happens a lot of times in our lives. A season will come. It'll pass. You'll enter into another season, and you forget what God deposited in the last season. You'll look for new answers because the season changed. You can't forget what God deposited in the previous season. The entire science of interpreting the Bible works the same way. God layers truth upon truth upon truth upon truth. He gives us simple Bible equations to figure that out. The book of Romans, it says this: Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. So there can be no understanding of righteousness without first faith in God. You can't touch second base till you get to touch first base. And so a lot of people, they go from season to season, and when the seasons change, they try to touch third base instead of touching first and second. You can't forget about what God has previously deposited in your life to sustain you and prepare you for the next season. It's pretty spiritually naive to think that the grace place collectively has not been targeted by the enemy. It'd be pretty naive for you to think that. In a body this small, just to consider for a second, here, this is my second bout of cancer. Sharon's went through cancer now. This is her second bout of cancer. Okay, thank God Joe's a cancer survivor, and he was surviving cancer when he got here. Praise the Lord for that. We have other people in this congregation with Dustin's mother that's going through cancer. Now listen, I'm not trying I just have to be obedient. Sandra went home to be with the Lord. Dave has suffered a loss. Joey and Wendy Gregg's going through extreme emotional distress. That honestly, I can't get that away from me. I pray about it almost nonstop. Right. I've got other people praying about that nonstop. You take a collective body as small as we are, and you look at the emotional distress, the physical pain that has been associated with a body this small. And you'd have to be spiritually dumb and blind not to say that for some reason we've been targeted for destruction. How many of you would at least agree with that much? I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians. I want to read a verse of Scripture to you, and I want you to hear it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, one little verse, and then if the Lord will allow, we're going to go to some other passages of Scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5. There is some mandates set forth in 1 Thessalonians 5. I'm going to read them to you. How many of you would love to know how to be a consistent follower of Christ? Would you like to know how to do that? I'm going to give you a list that Paul gives us that would make you a consistent follower of Christ. It would do you well to commit this passage to memory. It would do you well to look at it multiple times a day. It would also do you well to take inventory of your own life and use this as a checklist to see if you're a consistent follower of Jesus Christ. Now, before we read it, let me make this statement. If you're not a consistent follower of Jesus Christ, you're probably in the most dangerous church you could possibly be in for the season we're now in. You didn't hear what I said. I don't know that you're taking me serious, but I mean business. And I'm not telling you this for no other reason. This is not even coming out of personal experience. This is coming from the Lord. I speak this as commandment from the Lord. You are in the most dangerous church you could possibly be in if you're not serious about being a consistent follower of Jesus Christ. Here's what Paul says. I want us to start reading with verse 15. I would like to go, but let's just start with verse 15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man. Oh, boy. I mean, if you want to be a consistent follower of Jesus Christ, do not return evil to those who have perpetrated evil on you. Someone told me this years ago, and it's proved out true. If you try to defend yourself, God will let you. If you don't try to defend yourself, God will defend you. Did y'all hear what I just said? That's a principle of life. If you try to defend yourself, God will let you. But if you don't try to defend yourself and trust Him, He will defend you. I didn't make it up. It's in the Bible. 1 Thessalonians 5:15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. How many of you want to be a consistent follower of Jesus Christ? Follow that which is good in private and in public. I wouldn't give you a dime for a public testimony that's not lived out in private. This is being a consistent follower of Jesus Christ. Look at what the next item on the checklist is. Rejoice evermore. Now y'all better get with it or I'm gonna hold you to 1:30. Rejoice evermore. That means praise God all the time. He's worthy of praise. Can I just give you, this is a little thing that the... How many of you have ever had a word from God, the Holy Spirit, to speak to you something? And as soon as you do, you know it's Him. And let me just tell you, in the throes of agony the other day, the Lord reminded me that we're headed for a wedding. The song Wedding Music is that wedding music that I hear. It's an old Southern gospel tune. It came to my mind. I wasn't thinking about it, but it just came to my mind. And the Lord reminded me, we're going to a wedding. And for some reason, the vows, and pastors already talked about weddings earlier, and the vows that come to my mind is in sickness and in health. Can I tell you, when you got saved, God made that vow to you. Somebody better say amen right there, because that's worth rejoicing evermore. I wished I could stand up and run. If my feet would let me, I would right now. Rejoice evermore. God inhabits the demonstrative praises of His people. Amen. You want the presence of God? Start praising Him. You want to have a church that's on fire? Then start praising Him. It's not about you feeling like praising Him. It's about you being obedient to praise the God of heaven that has given you life and breath and air to breathe. He's worthy of our praise. You want to be a consistent follower of Jesus Christ? Rejoice evermore. We've got a friend, Tim Parsons. Tim, let me tell you something. When God touched him, God radically touched that man. Is that the truth? He's a truck driver, still driving, far as I know him. And if you talk to Tim Parsons, I've talked to him on the phone. I've met him in the farmyard. Joel, tell you the truth. This is what my you can say, "Hey, Tim, how you doing?" "Well, I just want to bless His holy name." Amen. That's his response. Every time you see Him, He begins every conversation with everybody with that same "I just want to bless His holy name." That's rejoicing evermore. I'm already behind. Look at the next mark of consistency in following Christ. Pray without ceasing. Be always in an attitude of prayer. Be able to get a hold of God in a second. Be able to get a hold of the Lord in a split second. Can I tell you something? This past week, I've not even had to begin to pray. I can just think about praying, and the Lord whispers, I'm with you.
Thank you.
I'm with you. Can I tell you that it does not matter how much noise is going on around me? When I just think of Jesus and I get right ready to either whisper his name or to silently call on him, every noise goes away and the Lord's voice, the whisper, is louder than any noise around me. I'm with you. Pray without ceasing. A consistent mark of a follower of Jesus Christ. I haven't got to my point. Look at the next one. In everything give thanks, for this is the... Boy, oh Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. In everything give thanks. There is absolutely no way that you'll ever be able to understand what I'm about to say to you. But I am living right now in my life at the most blessed time of my life that I've ever lived in the 60 years that I've been alive. And if you just hit the button and rewind and you look in the natural, you'd think the last 2 or 3 years have been the hardest time of my life. It's been the most blessed time I've ever lived. Can I tell you that the Lord's even whispered this to me? He said this, I'm blessing you with this. Oh, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I'm getting something here. Despise not prophesyings. I could hunker down there for a while. I'm not going to. I'm just going to say this much. Don't get mad at preaching.
Yeah.
Don't get mad at the Word of God. Don't try to change it to fit your life. There's a lot of things I could say. Despise not prophesying. I'll even say it this way too. Don't look at going to church out as an obligation. Can I just be honest with you? I didn't think Sunday was ever going to get here this week. Dear Lord Jesus, can't tomorrow just be Sunday? And if I'd have had to have come in a wheelchair, I'd have got here. I need the collective body of Christ together. I need the Jesus that's in you. And you need the Jesus that's in me. We need to get together. It's the mark of a consistent follower of Jesus Christ. I got to hurry. Prove all things. Here's what I wanted to get to. Look at this. Hold fast to that which is good. Hold fast to that which is good. I was thinking about this this week. Especially every time that I have a back issue. And I went for years and didn't have a whole lot of back issues. I broke my back, broke a vertebra in my back years ago in the lower part. Joe broke something in his back. And I thought about this. Me and Joe used to jump out of airplanes for a living in the Army. You can't jump out of airplanes. That's an unnatural act, by the way. You can't jump out of airplanes and with a military parachute, at least, and hit the ground as many times as we did and then expect our bodies not to respond in some way. You can't do to your bodies what we've done to ours and then wonder what in the world is wrong. Joe jumped out of an airplane one time down at Fort Bragg, and when you jump in the military, there's a whole lot of jumpers in there at one time. Somebody come up underneath him, and it stole his air, and his parachute just collapsed. And fortunately, he was close enough to the ground. I don't know how high he was, but about 75 foot. He should have died, but it broke his back. I was in the military. We never did get to jump together, though at one time we was in the same unit at Fort Bragg. And I had some knee issues and had had a little procedure done on my knee. And so, but you have to jump every so often or you'll lose your jump status. And so they come to me and said, did you ever make a water jump? I made a water jump. They let me. What that means, you jump in the water. Well, what you have to do that is you have to judge how high you are up from the water, and then you release your parachute and just go down in the water. And you're supposed to wait till you get about 10 foot, I think it was, and then release your parachute. Well, I'm not that good a judge of distance. I was way higher than 10 foot, and I hit the buttons, and here I started drifting, and I hit flat on my back. How many of you have ever seen people do belly busters? I did a back buster, and it was like hitting concrete, you know? And so all those things went on and in our young life, and so here we are, and our bodies are a little racked up, beat up a little bit. This past week, I was thinking, and the Lord began to speak to me. Here's what he said. It does not matter what happens in your physical body. Your spirit man can overcome what your physical body is experiencing. But you have to hold fast to that which is good. Many times when we was jumping, I don't know if this ever happened to you, but I was up in the plane one time and thought, you know, we was just going to jump there at Fort Bragg. We flew around for, I know, 10 hours before we jumped. And what they called that was a holding pattern. Sometimes spiritually, you'll get into a holding pattern. And you'll think, and Haley wrote in the song, the lyrics she sung, where God makes things new because the fresh gets old. Okay? In a holding pattern, the fresh will sometimes get old. And you'll say, I don't want to go to church. I hear the same thing over and over again. Truth is no, you don't. But but the reason you think you do is your spirit man is not clued in to what's being said. So you're not really getting nothing but words out of a physical body. But if your spirit man was clued in, then the spirit that's inside of you would be hearing the Holy Spirit, and you'd hear a brand new message every time. So the holding pattern that you're in sometimes is self-inflicted. Just like many of our injuries have been self-inflicted. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Spiritually, we get in trouble. Now watch. Here's what Satan desires for you. When I was a kid, I broke my leg. Put me in a cast. I was in a cast from my toes to all the way up here. And can I tell you, I couldn't wait to get the cast off. Oh, I'd watch. And here, boy, you know you got good friends. Now, I was just a young boy. I was 10, maybe, 10 years old. And my friends would come and play football in my backyard. You know you don't have friends when you're watching them play. You're sitting there on crutches and you can't get out there. And boy, I wanted to play so bad. And when the day I got my cast off, I was at Dr. Halvey's office. He shaved that cast off, and I thought, man. I jumped down off of that table and I took one step and I fell to the floor. My leg wouldn't hold me up. I still had to recover. After Haley's last leg surgery, took her a year just to walk normal. Can I tell you what Satan's after? It's not the injury. It's not the sin so much. It's to set you on the sidelines and put you in recovery. To silence you. To stop you. to make you nurse your injuries. Nobody's had it as bad as me. I think I'll just sit here and wallow in my misery to see how much sympathy I can get. Are y'all following what I'm saying? Oh, I'm so hurt and distressed. Somebody, listen, you need to start rejoicing evermore. You need to start giving God thanks in all things, because that's the will of God in Christ Jesus. And that is where your healing will come from. But you got to hold fast to that. Here's what the Lord's been telling me. You're not going to believe this. I hadn't got to the message yet, but I'm making headways. You've got to hold fast to what God has deposited in this group in the previous season. And you know what you're supposed to hold fast to? God's word and worship. That's where the presence of God came from. You've got to hold fast to that which is good. This week I couldn't work, and I was sitting there, and I'd watch a little YouTube of a night. One, I'd watch different church services sometime. And I'm going to be honest. I'd hit play. I'd let it play for 3 or 4 minutes. Then I'd turn it to something else. You know why? It all sounded the same. It all tasted the same. Why? No, was it good? Yes. Fine. There was a time when what I was listening to there was fresh. But now it's grown stale. And we've built traditions around it of what we call the new thing. Y'all know I'm telling you the truth. The only way to really stay fresh with God is for you to engage in worship and you to engage in the Word of God, and that's what you've got to hold fast to. Are y'all with me? So in this change of season, I'm going to hurry. I'll be done in just a minute or two here. I promise I will. In this change of season, we've went from peace and prosperity to spiritual warfare. And the warfare is great. That's why it's dangerous. Unless you're really, I can't say this loud enough, unless you are really chasing after a consistent walk and relationship with Christ, it's dangerous for you to be here. Because the grace, for some odd reason, I don't know why, I didn't think that we was doing all that much, just to be honest with you. But apparently, we have gotten the attention from a principality that has assigned some demonic beings to attack. I could prove this to you in the Word, and if you remember some of the charts on the spirit world, there are certain principalities in the hierarchy of... How many of you know Satan can't be everywhere at one time? God can, but Satan can't. So here's what Satan does. He assigns principalities to certain regions and territories. In the hierarchy from Ephesians 6, in the hierarchy of this demonic realm, principalities will hand down assignments to demonic forces. It will even invade rulers and those in authority over the land. Rulers of this world, it says. Then down to spiritual wickedness. Okay? So for some reason, there was a meeting that took place. And in the demonic realm, they said, let's target the grace place because we don't like what they're doing. What was we doing? We was worshiping and doing the word. We wasn't mollycoddling anybody. To my knowledge, we didn't have any kind of groups that were sitting around talking about their feelings. Hello? Boy, I could preach for 6 years on that one right there. We didn't involve ourselves in emotional healing because we had been touched as a young child and now we can't function properly. Now, I'm not trying to minimize distress, but what I am trying to tell you is that the church has a mandate from God to worship Him and preach the Word. That's what we were doing, and we drew the attention from the demonic realm. Now, it's time that we rise up and set demons to flight. Is there anybody that'll help me? I'm fighting for my life. I don't know if you know it or not. You maybe haven't got there yet, but you're also fighting for yours. You just hadn't got the awareness of it yet. I'm telling you the truth. We're supposed to set demons at flight. Matter of fact, the Word of God teaches us that two believers can come together and set thousands of demons to flight. We had a little grandmother that could walk in a grocery store and clean it out, and you could feel the presence of God. Amen. Satan trembled when she walked around. I'll guarantee you, every demon in that area, in that region, followed that woman everywhere she went, trying to find a weak spot. But God had angels encamped all around that woman, and she could whisper the name of Jesus, and demons would take flight. I've experienced that. All I'm asking for is for somebody here in this group, in this collective body, to get close enough to God to set some demons at flight, and let's get some angels encamped around us again where we can enjoy the rich presence of God. We've got to have that in our warfare. Listen, I'm not saying it because she's my wife, but thank God we've got somebody that the Holy Spirit can breathe a song into. Thank God we've got a pastor that'll hear from God and preach the truth. I left here last week, and I've told Haley this week, I've never heard preaching such in my life as what we had last week. When he got up and started preaching that message on forgiveness, oh my word, I've been forgiving people all week long. Just imagine them sitting right in front of me, and I'd say to them, "You're forgiven." Yeah. I'd put them right there in a chair in front of me. I could see them. I'd visualize them. I'm telling you things I shouldn't tell. This is personal. I'd put people right there in the chair, and I'd say, "Hey, you're forgiven." And you know what would happen? More freedom would come to me. The enemy don't like it. I just believe with all of my heart that Satan has presented himself before God. God has said, "Hey, have you considered the grace place down there? That little church. Nobody's paying attention to it, but them people love me. They're real. They're authentic." And Satan says, "Yeah, well, I can't get to them. If you'll take that hedge down and let me touch them, I'll rob them of their faith." And so the hedge gets taken down. And what happens? Misery, distress, physical illness, relationship problems, family distress, family problems. And people begin to question even their faith. "God, where are you? God, why are you doing this?" Oh, during those times, hold fast to that which is good. Hold fast to the worship of God and the Word of God. In everything, don't fail to give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning Him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Boy, I've not even read the text. That was the introductory text. I'm just going to read one thing. I'm done. I'm done after this. I want you to look at it though with me. Matthew. Turn to the Gospel of Matthew, the very last chapter, chapter 28. Are y'all listening to me? Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm going to tell you the last words of Jesus for you and for me and for this church. You take it for what it's worth. I'm fixing to give to you the Word of God. It is the final authority in all things. How many of you believe that? I can prove to you. Did you know everybody thinks that you can't prove the Bible? And you can. I can prove to you the Bible's true. Everybody said, well, it's just written by a bunch of men. I can prove to you that it's not written by a bunch of men. A bunch of men just merely penned down what God told them to write. And I can prove that to you. Okay? Now I want you to listen to this. Matthew 28, starting with verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus appointed them. You got to be in the place where God wants you to be. Everybody say amen to that. You've got to be in the place where God has appointed you to be. Unfortunately for y'all, I stand right here in the place where God has put me. I didn't choose it. And I'm sorry, but I have to be in the place. And you got to be in that place. And when they saw him, now they went to where he told them to be. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. It's that simple. They just worshiped him. They gave thanks. They praised him. Jesus came and he said this. Here's the kicker. Here's the punchline. I didn't get to preach it to you. Here's the punchline. Jesus said this to him. All power is given unto me in heaven. If I could just teach that to you, what that means. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power. Now watch this. I can't walk good. My feet don't work. My hands don't work well. I hurt just about everywhere in my body. And sometimes I get tired. And I get weary of that. Haley will tell you, I probably got on her nerves so bad. But I hurt everywhere. But can I tell you something? You're not looking at somebody that's defeated. I promise you, you're not. You're looking at somebody that's walking in the power of God. And he said, all power is given in heaven and earth. And if you walk in that power, you can overcome things you never thought possible. And you know what Jesus said after that? I'm done. It's simple. These are the last words he said, by the way. He said, go therefore. Go in that power. Not yours. You ain't got none. I don't have any. He has all power. That means you don't have any. And if you follow those consistent marks that I read to you in Thessalonians, if you follow those marks, you'll arrive at this conclusion. You're nothing. I mean, you're absolutely nothing. Even at your best, you're nothing. Why? A little breeze could knock you over. You're so nothing. But in Christ, you're everything. In Christ, your spirit can soar over your body. In Christ, you'll mount up with wings as eagles, and you'll soar over those circumstances that's causing you to question and doubt. If you read that text, when they gathered where Jesus told them to be, and it says, and they worshiped, the next line said, but some doubted. That's why you got to hold fast. How many of you are saved? Start there. Hold fast to that. I'm God's child. How many of you have ever been touched by the presence of God? Hold fast to that and say, I'm going to walk in the presence of God. How many of you know one prayer God's answered for you? Hold fast to the fact that God answers prayer. How many of you have ever been in a service where you just lost control of yourself and your arms just suddenly went up? You just couldn't even control it. How many of you have ever had that? Hold fast to that and do more of it. How many of you have ever been in prayer and here come the presence of the Lord and you just knew He was all around you? Does that happen to you? Hold fast to it and don't leave. And then what happens to you won't even matter. We're one half of a step from earth to heaven anyway. Let's pray. Lord, we need a Holy Spirit encounter. And Lord, we feel like we need to take a little authority. So I need somebody to join me in faith right now. We need to run some devils out of here. Lord, your word says what Satan means for evil, you're going to take it and use it for good. So everything Satan's thrown at us, I pray, God, you'll use it for good and black his eye with it. We know there's been some assignments against this place, but this place is the grace place. And in the storehouse of grace, God, we need you. Oh, Lord. If you're tired of hurting, just lift your hand to the Lord. Just lift your hand to the Lord. If you're tired of the hurting that you've been enduring, you're tired of it, you're grown weary of it. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that the assignments that's been set against those that have their hands up right now will come to nothing. I pray families will be healed. I pray relationships will be restored. I pray, dear God, that in Jesus' name we'll forgive those that have wronged us to the point that we'll enter into your presence and it'll no longer matter. You taught us don't fear what they can do to your body, but trust the one that can strengthen your spirit. And so, God, we need strength in our spirit. Lord Jesus, all power was given unto you in heaven and earth, and you told us to go in that power. So help us, Lord, to do that. We love you. There might be one here and say, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Not sure if I was to die now or if Jesus comes back now, which, by the way, he could today. You need to be forewarned. I've been praying that he would. Every day I pray that he'll come back today. So it's possible that the Lord could come back today. Are you ready to meet the Lord? If you're not, you're in the right place this morning. You'll never find a better place to be than where you are right now. Everybody's got their eyes closed. Maybe you'll just slip your hand up and say, I want you to pray for me. I ain't sure. I'm not sure. Pray for me. Is there one? Anybody? I ain't sure that I'm saved. I want you to pray for me. So, Lord, I assume that everybody here is your child. So anoint them and change them, and we'll give you praise. In Christ's name, amen.